The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Brooklyn, who you want playing point guard? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
How concerned should the Lakers be about Anthony Davis?
You saw how stiff that right heel area was. Didn't want to get any flexibility in it as he limped off. And that's not a good sign.
All right, AD hurt versus the Nuggets, who of course went on to win the game. Lakers star big man Anthony Davis, now a champion in terms of his skill set, as they say. It's not just skills anymore, it's a skill set. Been that way for a while, I guess. In terms of his skill set, he has a chance to be the greatest power forward ever, right? The reason it's Tim Duncan is not because you look at Tim Duncan and say he can do more stuff than Anthony Davis. That Duncan's got five chips. Well, AD's got one. Is his body going to hold up to get, like, you know, a second one? Can the Lakers go back to back if their big man is injury prone? I mean, you hear Achilles, anything. Tendinosis, tendinitis, I don't care, tendon, anything. You hear Achilles, you go, oh, okay, hold on a second. Tendinosis in his right Achilles caused swelling, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, who's a one-man industry in terms of reporting, was held out of the second half of Sunday's 122-105 loss to the Nuggets. Let's not forget this Nuggets team. A lot of people thought they were next, you know, with the Warriors' injuries and the Clippers, Paul George not showing that he could really be Robin to Kawhi's Batman, and even Batman choked in the fourth quarter of Game 7, which was surprising, Kawhi. But the Nuggets look like they were next. Now, Utah may have something to say about that now. But at any rate, the West, boy, they got to hold out AD for a hot minute right now. Make sure everything is okay, because you are swimming in shark-infested waters in the Western Conference. The Lakers are the great white, but the Jazz are looking excellent. You know, Mike Conley is back to really being Mike Conley, and according to the advanced analytics, he's a surefire all-star and then some this season. You know, the Jazz went all the way with the Nuggets last, one of the all-time great opening round series, and performances by Donovan Mitchell of the Jazz and Jamal Murray of the Nuggets. But they took those Nuggets seven games without Mike Conley really being Mike Conley yet on this team, and without Bogdanovich. So it's a bear in the Western Conference. Nuggets, Jazz, Clippers, and I still think the Mavericks, by the time Porzingis gets rolling, are going to be a problem. Anyway, listen to this. This is the sound of Anthony Davis getting hurt.
Here is Anthony Davis on the right wing. Davis fouled by Jokic. Uh-oh, Michael.
Yeah, he's reaching down.
AD's holding his right Achilles.
Well, he's holding down there like he's sore down there, so maybe they should take him out after these free throws and check him out. Anytime you see a guy favoring that area on the body.
Yeah, and then that's been nuts. Sore anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and if he's re-injured it, yeah, and he pulled up on it hard, I think he could be done for the night.
And that was the great John Ireland and Michael Thompson, of course, on the call. I mean, you hear Achilles, you hear swelling, grabbing where the injury is. It's all bad. Now, it's a precaution. You look at the MRI because it's strained. You want to make sure it's okay. But, yeah, they should take precaution and sit AD out for a good long while. That was Straight Talk Wireless. Oh, wait. Before we get to Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, take a listen to what Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj gets the information so fast. Sometimes I think he's like Vince McMahon. He's kind of writing the script and then sending it out. And everyone just follows what he says. Here's Wojnarowski on our ESPN NBA insider on Get Up this morning.
They believed last night that they don't believe there's any significant damage. He had missed the previous two games with soreness in that Achilles. It's been bothering him for a couple of weeks, and I think he and the Lakers are going to continue to try to take the long view on this, and that may mean him having to sit for a period of time.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Clapper, who you can hear on ESPN 710 in L.A., along with Mason in Ireland, you heard John Ireland earlier, and the Lakers with Ireland and Michael Thompson on the call. Dr. Clapper used to come on Max and Marcellus, my old show in L.A. with Marcellus Wiley on 710 ESPN, and talk about when you hear strain, what a lot of the times that means, like a micro tear in the fibers of, you know, in fibers. So it's not a tear yet, but it means it could be on the way to that if you don't rest them. This is serious business, folks. No AD, no repeat. No AD, no repeat. Only reason Lakers fans like to win a championship is because you can't win two in a row before you win that first one. Lakers fans are not interested in chips. They're interested in dynasties. And insofar this team is going to be a dynasty, it rides on Anthony Davis's health. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, Nets beat the Warriors. And before we get into these roles, listen to what Kyrie Irving had to say about the roles on the team. This is the press conference Saturday after the game. Listen to Kyrie on the roles of Kyrie Irving, and James Harden on the Nets.
Been doing a great job of just managing the point guard role. You know, we established that maybe 4 days ago now. I just looked at him and I said, you're the point guard, and I'm going to play shooting guard. And that was as simple as that. So he's been taking control of the responsibilities and doing an incredible job. And it just makes my job easier to just go out and play free and just make plays. So it's a luxury. Just wanted to continue it.
Lot to unpack here. Kyrie Irving saying he went to Harden and said, you're the point guard, I'm the shooting guard, and that's that. Kyrie's got a lot of Kobe in him in this way. Kobe Bryant's one of the most intelligent athletes I've ever spoken to. I don't know what his measured IQ was, but I'm sure it was sky high. And he didn't have a lot of formal education, obviously, coming straight from high school to the pros, but he had a lot of worldly education. Grew up in Italy and spoke several languages and traveled the world many times over. And Kobe had a way of coming up with ideas that seemed in everyone's best interest, but especially his. He would explain to you why he needs to take the most shots and he needs this and he needs that and more control. And he was right. The way he put it to you, the way he framed it, you say, yep, that is true. But it also seems self-serving at the same time. In other words, what was in his best interests was in the best interest of the team. And he was usually right about that. And it also put him in position of leader and shot caller. Now, think about what Kyrie Irving said. He went up to James Harden and told him how it was going to be. But Kyrie's right. He's right. Well, it's kind of self-serving in a way. In a way, it seems magnanimous. Here, you control the offense. I'll play off ball. Except who's going to be taking all the shots? And look who's taking all the shots now between Kyrie and Harden. And yet Kyrie's right. James Harden's a better player than Kyrie Irving. What does James Harden do better than Kyrie Irving? Does he shoot from the outside better? I don't think so. And the numbers say he doesn't. Is his mid-range game better? Nope. Are his handles better? Nope. Is he better from the line? What's James Harden better at than Kyrie Irving exactly? But he's a better player. No two ways about it. Because James Harden shows greater wisdom in terms of when to deploy his various skills than Kyrie. James Harden is actually, as much as he's one of the all-time great scorers, like when you talk about the greatest scorers ever, Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, those guys are all better than Harden. Well, look at the numbers. Yeah. But in his day, Kobe was scoring more in a league where it was harder to score. Other than those three guys, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem, some bigs, Harden's right. He's in that category or the next thing to it. So it's not that he can't play the off-guard position. It's that he's better controlling the offense of the team, and Kyrie is better when he can just be a crazy offensive weapon. So it's kind of self-serving for Kyrie in the guise of, hey, you control things. I'll give that up. Yeah, but it means Kyrie gets to take all the shots. But he's right. Kyrie's great at taking shots. Kyrie's weakness is in the wisdom in terms of when to deploy his various skills. But in terms of scoring, just putting on a show, like we have a tendency because Harden's taller and Kyrie's shorter, you put Kyrie at the one and Harden at the two. No. Harden's skills are actually, although Harden can also play a great two, better for the two, and Kyrie's better for the one. Kyrie Irving is absolutely right about this. Boy, the Nets, if DeAndre Jordan stays healthy and hungry on defense, and the big three stay healthy, I'm just, even forget about DeAndre for a second. This is going to be, with 100% certainty, the greatest offense of all time by the end of this season. You thought the Mavs were good last year on offense? Which they were. Most efficient ever. Three players who can all go get their own shot at historically elite levels. Like, compared to everyone who ever lived, they're absolutely elite at getting their own shots. And compared to anyone who ever lived, they're absolutely elite at shooting from the outside and shooting from anywhere and shooting from the free throw line and scoring in the paint. Absolutely elite. Historically, there's never been anything like this. And then you got Joe Harris. Joe Harris is the other guy. Woo! The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Now I'd like to welcome in. Is he there, Brendan? Great. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN's NFL front office insider. Mike, are you there?
I am, Max. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Mike. Dak has got a lot of leverage right now, Mike, obviously, right? You look at this division, and it's in shambles. Washington's defense is coming along, but they just gave Heinicke backup quarterback money because that's really what he is. And Daniel Jones showed no progress year two. And the Eagles are hoping Jalen Hurts can be the guy because Carson Wentz wasn't. Doesn't Dak have enormous leverage here? What's the holdup with the contract, do you think?
I think he has historic leverage, Max, and I don't know if Jerry Jones is used to sitting down with somebody who has more leverage than him. So this deal should have been done 2 years ago. Hopefully for their sake, it's going to get done. They have a big window, as you mentioned. This division is there for the taking, and hopefully this is a deal they get done, hopefully before the franchise deadline, because after this year, he walks, and they literally would get nothing for him.
You know, someone tweeted at, who was it? A teammate tweets at him. Or puts on Instagram, you know, hey, let's run it back. And he says, I see no other way, right? And we talked about it on First Take today. I think Dak put the emphasis on the I, basically. Not like, I see it no other way, but I see it no other way. But what about the team? They left them off the hype video. I don't want to hear it's a social media faux pas oversight. Come on, stuff trickles down from ownership on down. They didn't put him in the hype video because they're not sure he's going to be there. So, When he says he wants to be on the team, but he's not sure about them, Mike, the only thing I can think is Jerry does this intentionally to keep us talking about the situation. What is his alternative right now at quarterback?
You're 100% right. They should want to run it back no other way because they can't win with Andy Dalton. And there's nobody in the draft that beyond Trevor Lawrence that's even close to a certainty of Dak Prescott. So they should get this done. They're going to have to overpay what should have been $32 or $33 million 2 years ago, where Carson Wentz and Jared Goff did extensions, Max. It's probably going to be closer to $39 or $40 million. So you're going to overpay by $8 million a year, but get it done. Nothing is more important. You have a high-character, productive quarterback. Get it done. You have a chance, as you mentioned, Max, to go win the NFC East for years to come. So every day you wait, it's just going to get more expensive.
Talking to the great Mike Tannenbaum, obviously ESPN's NFL front office insider. Mike, let's move on to Pittsburgh. Marquise Pouncey retires, and Roethlisberger says that's hard for him. Where does this leave Big Ben?
Yeah, I don't know if this pushes him over to retirement, but certainly it pushes him towards that way. They had 7,500 snaps together in their career. I had the good fortune of being around Mike Pouncey all the time in Miami.
Offensive lineman, by the way. Obviously, longtime teammate, but he's blocking for the guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And right now, there's a big difference between Ben Roethlisberger and the three other quarterbacks in the AFC North. Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and a young Joe Burrow are better than Ben Roethlisberger. There's a massive gap. And if I was Pittsburgh, I would make the hard but not easy decision to move on from Ben, go draft his replacement, and move forward. Because a year from now, if we're having the same conversation, Max, that gulf is just going to be bigger and bigger. And that's why they got to bite the bullet and let him move on. And maybe Ben Roethlisberger does what Philip Rivers does. And maybe for a year he goes to Indy, he goes to Chicago, maybe even New England. But this is a situation where I think both sides would be better off by moving on.
Mike, I'm sorry I interrupted you before. You were saying you were spending time with, you were in the middle of making a point about Pouncey.
Yeah, so the Pounceys are special guys, Max. They are great problem solvers. They're leaders. And Ben Roethlisberger knows what it's like to have a veteran center who could put out all sorts of problems, either someone not knowing their assignment, someone being overweight. And what I'm saying is he's not going to want to go back to Pittsburgh to develop a young center for the next quarterback.
Right.
And I think what happened with Maurkice Pouncey is probably an underrated story as it impacts Ben's decision.
Yeah, the center position has changed so much, it seems like. By the way, Nick Mangold, right? Like the league changed out from under him. It keeps evolving. When you got a longtime guy who knows his quarterback like that and suddenly he's gone, you have to imagine it does have the quarterback thinking differently, I would imagine, were I the quarterback. Meantime, let's move on to the other team in Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia Eagles. Mike Tannenbaum, when I first heard that they were asking for like multiple first round picks for Carson Wentz, I would never doubt what Adam Schefter's been hearing, of course, but I laughed at the Eagles' audacity, thinking that they would get multiple first round picks for Carson Wentz. Mike, if I were a team taking Carson Wentz, I would need draft compensation from the team trading him. He is a clubhouse destroyer, it looks like to me. He regressed horribly. He has not taken any accountability, really. He pouted and leaked stuff in the press, it seemed, on game day when they gave the other guy the ball because he stunk. Compare that to like the way Trubisky took his benching. Like a man in Chicago, came back and played as well as he could. I was impressed with that. I would think that any team taking Carson Wentz's massive contract and massive headache and huge regression in his talent and skills, like talent post-injury and skills over the last year or so, would need draft compensation. They want multiple or at least a first-round pick. Doesn't seem like they're getting it right now. What do you think they could get for Carson Wentz?
You know, Max, I agree with you. We talked about this on Get Up. Part of the value for Philadelphia has to be, hey, we're getting out from under these massive guarantees. So I think they'd be lucky to get maybe a second or a third-round pick, and they have to say, hey, we got a new head coach in Nick Sirianni. We got a young Jalen Hurts who we like a lot. We're going to pair those two guys together. By saving the guarantees over the next 2 years, we're going to be able to keep maybe Zach Ertz or a couple other key guys, and that's a win for us. So I don't think they get a first-round pick, and I think right now that's what the marketplace is telling us.
Yeah, it really tells you these trades. You know, I always thought Stafford had a lot of arm talent. I don't know if he's a winner. I don't know if that's the organization entirely. But to get out of that Goff contract, a guy who's been to two Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl, to get out of that Goff contract, they gave up two firsts and a third to get Stafford and his more team-friendly deal. But it really tells you how much the league values not just the contract, but Stafford over Goff. What is your sense of where the league is on Carson Wentz right now? And absent that, where are you on Carson Wentz?
Yeah, Carson Wentz is a guy that's shown he can win, but I would really proceed with caution because Philly poured every possible resource into him. So I don't think he's a guy that you could just say, hey, we have our guy. So again, if I'm Indy, if I'm Chicago, if I trade for him, I'm still going to try to draft another quarterback. So I'm with you. There's a lot of questions. And yes, I think the marketplace said Jared Goff has a better chance to win than Carson Wentz because one's been moved and the other hasn't. So I think Philly is going to try to be patient, try to conjure up a figure eight. Carson Wentz brings a tremendous amount of question marks, and with those guarantees, you really have to proceed with caution. And like I said, I would double down. I would trade for him and try to draft one as well.
Mike, before I let you go, the Chris Doyle hiring by Urban Meyer was a mess, and now that whole episode is over, but I want to tell you my take on it, and I love your reaction. Urban Meyer, when he tells the players, just trust me, this was a transparent process, and we vetted him thoroughly. Mike, I don't believe in cancel culture. If you've ever done anything bad, you never get to work again, even at the highest levels. But I think you have to take accountability first. I didn't hear that from Chris Doyle. And if there are over 50 players coming out, African-American players saying he treated black players differently and they made them feel funny about it, that's not one or two guys, 50 guys. Boy, that's a ton. That gives it credibility to me. So I haven't seen the accountability taken. And when Urban Meyer tells the players they're just going to have to trust him originally, You know, should you have trusted his judgment with the in the past? Maybe not with these kind of things, with personnel issues. It seems to me like he's basically saying, hey, you know, chain of command, you guys are the players and we're in management. And Mike, the issue to me there is there's a huge overlap with labor and race here. You know, the owners are 100% white, or at least they're 100% not African-American, 0% African-American ownership. The vast majority of GMs and coaches, not African-American, and the vast majority of players, over 70%, are African-American. So if the ethos is constantly, hey, you're just the players, you play, and we're going to make all the decisions and don't question it, well, there's an overlap with that labor issue and the chain of command and racial issues. And when the assistant, in this case, is accused by 50-plus people of being at the very least racially insensitive, I can't get down with the, hey, you just have to trust my judgment. It was a transparent process. I need to hear from Coach. Wait a minute. What was the process? What did you ask him? Why are you satisfied vetting him, having vetted him? What's your impression of all of that?
I agree with you. And we talked about this on Get Up as well, Max, which is Urban Meyer is used to being the czar of Columbus, the czar of Gainesville. And it's a different world in the NFL. And what Coach Doyle did was wrong. He has to pay a price for it, and this was not the time or the place for him. As you said, he hasn't gone through the rehabilitation and really own his mistakes and try to learn from them in a meaningful way. And I think what they did was wrong. It was inappropriate. And I think what was more concerning to me than anything was where was the sort of process within Jacksonville about talking about, hey, coach, we can't do this. Like, who's speaking up? Is that Trent Baalke, their GM? Is it the owner, Shad Khan? Someone has to say, Urban, you can't do this. And not to fundamentally have the check and balance to make sure that we're making the best decision for the organization is a big concern. And to me, moving forward, hopefully this is a lesson learned. But make no mistake about it, we are not in Gainesville. We are not in Columbus, Ohio. This is the NFL. There's a lot more transparency.
Mike Tannenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN's NFL front office insider. Mike, always appreciate it when you come on. Thank you very much.
Max, greatly appreciate you having me. Big fan of your show. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Coming up, L.A., you hear who Giannis says is the best in the West? I'm not talking about player. I'm talking about team. Hint, it ain't the Lakers. It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how you should spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51. That's an A51 for just $199. Plus, get $45 unlimited talks, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Who's the best in the West? The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Mike Tannenbaum joined us on the Goodyear Hotline last segment, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Los Angeles, you worried about AD? I am. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Giannis says the Jazz are the best in the West.
It's not something to be upset about or frustrated. It's going to be hard at first. And especially if you play the best team in the West and you change things. Like, we didn't practice yesterday, you know, and it just looks fun. Like, when I watch them play, it looks fun. It looks easy. It looks simple. You know, for sure they look like us last year. And, man, when you play, when you're in that point and you're playing in that, with that confidence, you're hard to beat, for sure.
Yeah, we heard Kendrick Perkins here on this show, the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio, weekdays 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Plus. We heard Kendrick Perkins tell me last week all the reasons why the Jazz are a real threat, and they are. I'm going to echo some of what he said, but I want to get into it a little deeper in terms of the stuff that I've been thinking about. Perk brought up the fact that Donovan Mitchell's great. Of course, everyone knows that. They're extremely well coached by Quinn Snyder. I mean, like, they're well coached and they have a superstar. And Donovan Mitchell, when the stakes are highest, elevates from star to superstar. Those guys are rare. You know, who's normally better all around, Donovan Mitchell or Paul George, when you include defense, given his size and everything? Probably Paul George. But when it matters most, it's not close. Donovan Mitchell by far. Those guys are rare, and they have one. They got a great one. I mean, that show that Donovan Mitchell put on with Jamal Murray in the first round last year, I'll always remember it. I mean, it was probably the greatest show I've ever seen between two dueling superstars in the first round ever. I'm trying to think of any sport. That was unbelievable. 50. I see you're 50. I raise you to 55. Like, it was ridiculous what they were doing. But Denver won the series. And then Denver went on to upset the Clippers. They had the cardiac kids, right? And then the Lakers were too much for them. But let's just keep in mind for a second that against the Lakers, there were times where it was like, oh, is Denver going to come back on them? The answer was no, but they gave you that feeling at times in that series. And Denver barely beat Utah. And Utah was without Bogdanovich. Without Bogdanovich, they barely beat Utah. And really, Utah was without Mike Conley, too. Because Mike Conley never got acclimated last season and really wasn't playing as himself. Mike Conley this year, look at the advanced analytics. Mike Conley, and one of our basketball guys here at ESPN brought this up, and I'm trying to remember who. Mike Conley is putting up like MVP caliber numbers so far. If you look at the advanced analytics, he's completely elite, a stone cold all-star for sure, and then some. And really, when you looked at Utah, I remember thinking like, too bad Gordon Hayward's not on the team. You know, like Donovan Mitchell really needs a crime partner, a guy who can go get his own shot when it gets thick, right? Bogdanovich can do a lot of things, and Gobert's great on defense, and you know, they got it. Joe Ingles is a real player. But who's that other star? The answer is Mike Conley. Mike Conley's always been a poor man's Chris Paul. And not like a poverty-stricken man's Chris Paul either. He can do a lot of the things Chris Paul can do in terms of his understanding of the game and his scoring when you need him and his setting up teammates when you need him to. If Conley is this, Utah is dangerous. If Conley is this, and now with Bogdanovich, you'd expect them to get by Denver, for example, in the playoffs. They'd have a real good shot to beat the Clippers in the playoffs. And if AD is anything other than 100%, the Lakers too. Now, in the end, why do you like the Lakers? I know I do. In the end, I like the Lakers because if it comes down to a tough game, give me the team that has the best player on the floor. And as great as Donovan Mitchell is, LeBron is obviously, clearly, and by far the best player on the floor in that series. It's not like there's a close second. So I like the Lakers. But it may not even get to that. Push may not come to shove if AD isn't 100%. By the way, NBA MVP update. The Blazers edged the Mavs. Damian Lillard and Luka Doncic were dueling superstars. Damian Lillard hits the go-ahead shot, which he's done more than anyone in the world since he entered the NBA. Everyone knows that dude's got ice water in his veins. And Luka missed. Oh, Luka had an open look. It looked good, but it didn't go down. Lillard ended with 34 points, 3 boards, and 11 assists. Luka with 44, 7, and 9. You know, Dallas was my sleeper team this year. And they're still my sleeper team because people are asleep on them because defensively they're not good. And Porzingis doesn't look good. This is the problem with Porzingis. Every year he's rehabbing from injury. But let's keep in mind, if he can stay healthy when the playoffs roll around, Dallas, no one's going to want to see them. If Porzingis comes back to what he was and then some and stays healthy in the playoffs, he's far off from that right now. But if he gets there and he has enough time to, Dallas is going to be impossible. And Luka, by the way, can play a lot better than he's been playing, believe it or not, 44, 7, and 9. But still, Lillard, in the meantime, Stephen A. was going off on First Take, apologizing to Damian Lillard for ignoring him. Listen to him. Here's Stephen A. on First Take today.
On behalf of all the great NBA reporters, all the great aficionados, all the great analysts, on behalf of everyone, I will put myself at the top of the list. I apologize. It's my fault. Because this brother, Damian Lillard, has been ignored for far too long. He is the real deal. And he does it time time and time and time again, and we don't talk about him enough. Well, it's going to stop today. It's going to stop today. He's on that damn MVP list.
Yes, he is on the MVP list. We don't talk about him enough for a simple reason. His teams don't make deep playoff runs. That's who we talk about, the teams that make deep playoff runs. I remember Snoop with a line going back, I don't know, 20 years or something. I forgot what song it was. I throw strikes like Andy Pettit and Roger Clemens, pitch a shutout the whole nine innings. And I was thinking to myself, of everyone he could have shouted out, he shouted out Andy Pettit? I mean, as a Yankees fan, that's great, but why is he shouting? Because Andy Pettit's in the World Series every year, right? You talk about and you think about the players that make the deepest playoff runs. Well, Damian Lillard's in the Pacific Northwest, not a media hub like, you know, L.A. or New York, or a sexy destination like Miami. Damian Lillard's team has not been good enough to make deep playoff runs. And furthermore, when you talk about guys who don't get enough ink or enough press, enough coverage, oh, they don't get talked about enough as an MVP. If I asked anyone out there who's the MVP, how many people are going to say Lillard? I don't mean in the conversation, I mean MVP. It's either going to be LeBron or Embiid or KD maybe. And then it's going to be Jokic, right? Tell me when we've gotten to Lillard. Lillard is then in the conversation with Kawhi and Steph and Giannis. So the fact is, he's not one of the top two or probably even three MVP candidates. He's not playing in a big market. And most importantly, he hasn't taken his team deep enough into the playoffs. Understand, the whole basketball world loves Damian Lillard. Everyone reveres this guy. It's like a cult of Damian Lillard. What a leader. He doesn't duck out of responsibility. He's not trying to just glom on to a winner. He's trying to win where he is. He's every franchise wants that guy to be their franchise player. So it's not like people don't admire him enough. But if he wants to get the same kind of press that the other guys get, you got to make deeper playoff runs. Got to make deeper playoff runs. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Coming up, does Tom owe someone an apology? No doubts next. When you gift the year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, and a full 30 for 30 library and more. Surprise the sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. By the way, I'm just telling you, if you have a sports fan in your life, you don't know what to get them, and they don't have ESPN Plus, I think it is the best bang for the consumer dollar in sports. I think that by far, and I would say that whether or not I was working at ESPN. It's unbelievable. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. No doubts next, the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Every voice and sing.
On December 8th, 2020, Paris Saint-Germain and Istanbul Başakşehir players walked off the field in protest 14 minutes into their Champions League match after a referee used racist language toward an Istanbul assistant coach. The match was postponed until the next day with new referees, and PSG would go on to win 5-1.
Black History Always, The Undefeated, and ESPN Radio.
Yeah, look at this. Raj on vacation this week. Brendan playing Shook Ones Part 2. Mobb Deep's one of the greatest songs ever made. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. This is when hip-hop hit its pinnacle, in my opinion.
I don't like things now compared to the way they used to be.
Like the grumpy old man from SNL. 94, 95. This, ODB's first joint. Then Ray and Ghost, Cuban Links. Oh, those were the days. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. And it was War Report, CNN, maybe a year later. Going to get to your calls coming up on Lakers and Nets, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But first, No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right. What do we got, Brendan?
All right. No Raj, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Forget playing with his brothers in Pittsburgh. Going back home to Wisconsin and playing for the Packers is the best fit for J.J. Watt.
Nah, son, the best fit is Tampa. Why not just get a little more depth on the line? You know, this is what happens. Brady wins the Super Bowl and all the old vets want to go down there in the sunshine. Like, this is what LeBron did in Miami. Yeah, I think it's Tampa. And by the way, J.J. Watt, people don't even remember. That's short memories. J.J. Watt is on the all-time defensive line. You know, what defensive ends are even in his category? Reggie White and Bruce Smith. Anyone else? Guys who played on the end? That's it. Even if you don't want to start him on that line, and he might, he's in that rotation all-time. Go ahead. What's next?
The daughter of a silversmith who helped make the first Lombardi Trophy for the NFL is demanding Tom Brady apologize after he threw the trophy from one boat to another boat while on the river last week. Does Tom Brady need to apologize?
No. Anyone else might. Son. Anyone else might, but it was Tom Brady. And by the way, the pass was on the money. What is she talking about? No, I understand. I wondered if anyone else could get away with it, or would people say it's disrespectful somehow? But nah, come on. If they would have dropped it in the river, okay, fine. But that ain't what happened. And it was Tom Brady, the GOAT. Stop that.
The NFL fined Antoine Winfield Jr. over $7,000 for taunting Tyreek Hill with the peace sign that Hill uses. What about Tyreek Hill? Should he be fined for all the times he does it?
No, no one should be fined for throwing a peace sign. Nah, son. Absolutely not. I'm supposed to say either no doubt or nah, son. Nah, son. Absolutely not. Ridiculous. Get over it. Come on. People are having fun. Next.
What about Johnny Manziel? He played in something called the Fan-Controlled Football League or something like that this weekend. It doesn't matter what the league is. If Johnny Manziel is playing, are you watching?
If I'm flipping channels, I'm not making an appointment. But if I'm flipping channels and I see Manziel, yeah, I would. But it's not appointment viewing for me. Nah, son. A lot of nah, sons. No doubts. What's going on?
How about this one? Former NFL wide receiver Chris Hogan is declared for the Premier Lacrosse League entry draft. Max, have you ever watched a lacrosse game in your life?
Yes, no doubt. And by the way, lacrosse is a fun sport to watch. That's right. It's an improvement on soccer, basically. Is that it? We're done?
Done.
Coming up, Kirk Cousins has advice for Dak Prescott.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.